Today's podcast covers how to evaluate judge feedback and helpful approaches to handling criticism. Okay, listeners, we're back again. We have an episode specifically dedicated to a topic that I think is always something to revisit, but especially now that I know I've personally been talking to a lot of people getting feedback from judges, the competition season for bodybuilding is pretty much in full swing. I think there are some pretty good like tidbits in here just to help make the most of getting criticism, looking to improve, talking with the right people. Yeah, that's kind of how I would summarize it. What do you think, TC?
Yeah, and how much weight to put behind certain people's words, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So, I think we can just dive right in. We'll get right into the meat of the topic. So let's talk first about judge feedback. Because that is a real big thing that gets harped on a lot in bodybuilding. Always go to the judge, ask them what you can improve upon, email the judge, like always ask. And I think that is a good piece of advice because the sport is subjective. I think that's the first thing people need to remember. This sport is very subjective. So getting some helpful criticism and critique can help you continue to advance. But within that, I think it's important to realize that judges are human. And because this sport is subjective, if you think about it from a judge's perspective, you're stepping on stage for a specific amount of time. And that judge is seeing you in a moment in time, a quick snippet. They're not studying your physique in every single small little detail unless you're like going for an overall and it's close. They're like looking at you, they're seeing what they like, they're notating what they don't like, and they're moving on. And a lot, I think, gets illuminated when you're standing next to competition. So I think depending on your lineup and who you're there with, your strengths can really like set you apart, or your weaknesses can really be illuminated as well. So just to give you just a perspective from a judge, like they're sitting there all day looking at bodies all day, they're making quick calls, and so it's our job as athletes to show up with the best presentation that we can, to highlight our strengths and hide our weaknesses as much as possible. Like that's our responsibility. So if stuff falls through the cracks and they say like, hey, your abdomen was not tight enough, or we need more core control, and you think that through all your practicing, your core is really tight, you're not having an issue. If a judge is noticing it, that's something to go back and work on.
Yeah, which is probably endurance at that point, yeah. Right? If you think your core is tight, that means that in your 5 to 10 minute posing sessions that you've been practicing with, especially as you're getting more and more fatigued, you're not actually giving yourself the chance to hold that position like the judges do when you're in that lineup.
Yeah.
So it's really important to actually hold these poses. When I'm posing, I hold my poses generally for at least 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm trying to find new positioning and new bracing, trying to get more upright, getting my abs tighter, getting my midsection smaller, whatever it might be. But often I'm just trying to lock it in, and then I focus on my breathing. And because every exhale is a chance to get more and more abdominal definition for me as a classic competitor, mm-hmm. More abdominal definition. And as those abs contract, that waistline is going to get smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's multiple benefits of just holding your poses for longer periods of time.
Yeah. And I think if you're getting some criticism, that is like maybe not quite connecting and it has to do with posing, record yourself. Mm-hmm. Like go home, practice, record yourself, like try and put yourself in the position of the judge as much as possible. It's not going to be the same because you're going to look at your body every single day and you're going to notice, you may notice flaws that a judge might not.
Well, you're going to be looking for flaws. That's what you're looking for when you're looking at your body, generally speaking.
Yeah. And that's your coach's job too.
Yeah.
Still look okay.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. The coaches is probably they're probably looking for the flaws, whereas the athlete is probably looking. Yeah, I got a good delt pump, or my delts aren't big enough, or I can't capture my. You know what I mean? They're not necessarily looking for those deficits. So, yeah, having someone with that weathered eye, and then being able to have someone that you can trust, right, to not just blow smoke up your ass and like tell you, oh yeah, you look great, you're gonna take first place, and then you come in last, and you're like, okay, what happened? Like, where is the disconnect here?
Yeah.
So having people on your team that are gonna be honest with you and give you that constructive criticism is very important.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think when you're going up to a judge and you're asking for feedback, like at the end of the event, remember it's a long day for them too. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna try and like give you the broad strokes of what you need to work on. Usually it's be more conditioned if you're not at that level yet, mm-hmm. or put on more mass. Again, these are broad strokes.
Yeah.
And then it's taking that information, going and talking with your coach and figuring out a game plan from there.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we're like really being realistic, unless you're in the top 3 to 5 athletes, that's what your feedback is going to be. Mm-hmm. Get more conditioned or you need more muscle mass, mm-hmm. right? That's it. Those are the two things in bodybuilding. Either you weren't conditioned enough or you weren't as big as the other guys, mm-hmm. or girls, you know. I think, you know, judges' feedback, and I think this is what we're kind of moving towards. It can be just like the judging itself. It can be very subjective, which often can cause other issues down the road, whether it's in the athlete's psyche or athlete coach relationship or whatever it might be. But you would like to, you know, talk on that a little bit
on which part?
Just like different types of subjective judge feedback that may not be as helpful as it
might
sound initially when you're getting it, you know what I mean?
Sure Well, any judge that's like picking apart a person for like things that you're not judged on, because I have heard news of that, I would just go get another judge and get some feedback there. Like, I think for women, I've heard some women talk about, like, a judge commented on, you know.
You need a boob job.
Yeah, you need a boob job. Yeah,
like that's not what this.
Your veins are distracting, like, stuff like that. I would just move on. I would go get another judge feedback. But I will say this, if there's something particular that you're self-conscious of, that you've gotten feedback on, and you're unsure if it really matters, like, go speak to a judge, because there are tiers of judges, right? And ask specific questions. So I recently had a friend that competed. Her feedback at a regional show was that she was enormous, and she was too big. She's not even in this category anymore. And she needs to cool it, too much muscle, blah, blah, blah. So she went to nationals to get feedback from judges at a higher level that award pros, that look at pro bodies on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And she asked that specific question, am I too big for bikini? Am I too big? And both the judges that she spoke to, which are national level judges, both told her absolutely not. Like, your muscularity is like in line with what pros in bikini have. So showing up to nationals with muscularity that's on par with a pro division is exactly what you should be doing.
Yes. Yes.
So she looked bigger on a regional level show where girls were coming in really teeny tiny. Mm-hmm. Which set her apart in a negative way, but at a national level stage with sights set on pro card,
yeah,
aspirations, she's right where she needs to be. So that's why you have to just be very vigilant on where you're getting feedback from. You have to understand the sport or have a coach that understands the sport,
yeah,
because you don't want to get dinged for like silly things over and over and over again.
Well, and you don't want to build something up in your mind. You don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill if there's no problem, yeah, right? Like, this athlete could have not gone to nationals and waited a year and a half and lost a bunch of muscle mass because they need, you know, if they took that to this one person's opinion instead of understanding that it's a subjective sport and regional level versus national level is two different stages. And you have to remember, just like, you know, we've discussed this in the past, marathon mentality, right? What is our end goal? And if your end goal is to impress this regional level judge because this is the only show you're ever going to compete at and you're going to do it every single year, then yeah, you should do exactly what he wants. But if your end goal is to progress in the sport of bodybuilding and, you know, go to get to the national stage and get your pro card, then we need to look past what these smaller stages are telling us and see what we need to bring to be competitive.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, and like I was kind of saying, it's like asking good questions, I think, can be helpful.
Yes. Being knowledgeable. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not conditioned enough, that's pretty much all you need to know at that point, because they're not going to be able to necessarily evaluate your muscularity if they can't see it completely conditioned. If you're men never get this, but if you're a female and you're coming in too hard, then like, wow, what great feedback. Just soften up a little bit, like talk to your coach. It's a peaking,
like a deal.
Yeah. It's like, all right, great. But ask those specific questions. When you're in like you're coming in condition, you have enough muscularity. It's like toggling back and forth between a couple people, like ask those questions. Cause we've had girls at nationals that were in top three. So what is setting them apart from first and second?
Yes, exactly. And that's where the judge feedback really comes into place. But like we talked about on the national level and the pro level stage, not necessarily the regional level. I mean, yeah, you have to, I guess, win a regional level show to get to go to nationals, but that will come with time, right? If you have a pro level physique, you're going to get awarded. There's no two ways about it. So yeah, I would just, you know, coach patience in that instance.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, my train of thought got away from me.
That's okay. Also, TC's not feeling great today, so give him a round of applause for doing a podcast.
We're doing it. Yeah, so sorry if my pig snorts.
Doing great. But yeah, so I think it's important to like remember there's tiers of judges. Remember to go, you know, talk to like in the right people if you have something in question.
Yeah, or even just like, look, if you can get a hold of all of your judges and talk to all of them and just get more perspectives, but understand that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Go into that with a curious mindset, not what this person says is law, right? It's just collecting another perspective. But like Chris mentioned earlier, how long has this person looked at your physique? Mm-hmm. And if after this show, they tell you, you need to eat more before this, like you need to refeed more or something, how does that judge know that, right? Like, I don't know. I wouldn't, I mean, you can tell when someone's like just completely underfed and like just chronically, you know, fatigued and just, this is not a great prep for them, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, that is a good point because that is feedback that, I think is not helpful to an athlete.
Yeah.
Telling like a judge telling an athlete things to do considering their peak or their protocol is not really helpful because a judge hasn't been there week to week looking at your physique over and over again. Like they're kind of shooting in the dark, and you'll never hear like Tyler Mannion say you need to eat more on peak. And look, I've never sat there for all of Tyler's feedback, so maybe he has, but he says more things like you need to come in tighter, you need to come in fuller is something different, you need to come in more conditioned, you need like more detail, you're too soft, like that's the verbiage that is more helpful, because then it goes back to looking at what happened within my peak, my protocol, and like what can I do to reduce this issue or improve this this point. So just be wary of people giving you advice like eat more.
Well, sometimes I feel like it's almost like feel good advice, right? They didn't do well, so now you tell them all you needed to do was eat more in your peak week.
Yeah.
So now they're placated for the moment, but now they go back, they're angry at their coach, which may or may not have been at fault, and like it's just a weird,
I think some judges don't want to hurt your feelings too. I have talked to some judges that are like very general female judges, I see it actually until she goes like right for it. She tells you right what's happening.
Well, she's look at Tyler. I mean,
I love them. Let me just be very honest on this podcast. Attila and Tyler, I love their feedback.
Yeah, it's just straight to the point.
Yeah, tell me what I need to do. Like, you're there, and that. Okay, wait. Woo, my brain's doing too many things. Previously, before you gave me some personal advice when going into shows, I was always looking at overanalyzing every single thing. And you told me just go to a show, don't worry about placing, just go there to get on stage to then collect feedback. Mm-hmm. And I think that was some of the best advice I've ever received as an athlete because it took the pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm not there to like achieve my goal of top 10 or top 5 or winning or locking in that pro card. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or not.
If you're consistent and perseverant, you will reach your goal. Like, that is just a fact of history. We've seen it over and over again.
Yeah. So focus on the process and just go get feedback because you're going to then be in a process again.
Yeah.
No matter what happens.
Yeah.
So I think that has been like very helpful, but then it's also like what we're talking about in the podcast, kind of like knowing how to apply feedback.
Yes. And knowing what to look for. Yeah. Exactly. In feedback, what kind of feedback you want, what questions to ask. And I think that's where communication with your coach goes, like comes into play, because ideally before the event, your coach has said, all right, what are your expectations for this event? And then when you tell them, I mean, that's the coaching opportunity, right? Is to instill the marathon mentality, right? And say, okay, what's next, right? Like, what's our expectation here? But really, what's next?
Yeah.
Because that's what's important.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, kind of going back to my point of like, some judges don't want to hurt your feelings. Mm-hmm. The best like help for you moving forward is an honest, they don't have to be mean, but they need like an honest judge giving honest feedback. Yeah. Then
go ahead.
I was just going to say, also, it's not uncommon for judges to disagree.
Yes, yeah.
So, like, don't get hung up on, like, so-and-so likes me, so-and-so doesn't like me. There may be preferences, especially when you're in, a category like bikini, because a lot of the bodies look great, but there's just, like, small nuances of, like, your structure, how you're built.
Yeah, and it's not clear-cut who's bigger, right?
Yes.
Who's more shredded.
Exactly.
Right? It's not as clear.
Yeah, like, especially a pro league, it can get complicated. But, like, don't get hung up on, like, this judge and that judge and blah, 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 blah.
If you realize you don't like a certain judging panel or a certain region, just don't go there again.
That is
right?
True.
It's similar to, like, look, you don't like Walmart, you don't shop there, right?
So yeah.
Same thing.
It should be helpful to you. Like, it should be helpful.
Yeah, and basically, I mean, if you think about it, if you didn't win, someone telling you did a great job doesn't really help, right?
Yeah.
You want them to tell you what you need to do to win. I mean, that's what I want. I don't want fuck all the fluff. Like, leave me, just tell me exactly what I need to do. I know how well I did, right? And I just want you to tell me what I need to do better.
Yeah, that is true. Telling them, you looked great.
Yeah.
Doesn't help.
Yeah.
It's nice because you work hard, but it doesn't help you know what to do to continue to advance.
Yeah. If you're on that stage, chances are you look great. I mean, even if you're the thickest one up there.
You should be proud of yourself.
You probably look pretty freaking good, especially compared to the general population.
Yes.
So yeah, I just look for the constructive criticism more so than the gassing you up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like one more thing to kind of point out before we move on is another great example I experienced was a friend of mine turning pro and asking the judges about what she should do next. Great opportunity and fantastic question, because you've just leveled up. Now, what makes sense for where your physique is at to achieve on the next level? So they gave her advice of take time off to grow. Like, take time off, grow, put muscle on. Like, she did a very good job of, like, making sure that she asked, a lot of very particular questions, and they kept returning to takes time off to grow. And I thought that was great because you could just push someone to get up on. Yeah, you look great. You should go compete in the pro stage. Like, go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you want to be a judge that's actually giving helpful advice to athletes and helping them improve, like, be honest. Like, yeah. Tell them, yeah, you did great at this show, obviously, but you need to grow more to be competitive mm-hmm. at the next level. So
yeah, which we've experienced both of those types of judges. You know, yeah. Telling someone, oh yeah, you should compete in a month and a half when it's like very clear they don't have enough muscle. Like that's
frustrating.
That is really frustrating from a coach's standpoint, because then your athlete is saying, well, the judge said I should compete again, even though, like, you know, you didn't do nearly as well as you wanted to. It's tough, man. It's really tough to battle that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So like, don't put all your eggs in the judge basket. Mm-hmm. Take their criticism and their critique.
Yeah. If you have a coach, you trust your coach, right? Either you trust your coach or you don't. And if you trust your coach, then trust your coach and make sure that you're like, there's always more weight in their opinion. And I'm not just saying this from a coach's standpoint. I'm saying this from an athlete standpoint.
Yeah.
You have to have like something solid, just like a powerlifter has to create rigidity through its spine. That's at the center point of that lift, of any compound lift. It's the same thing with any athlete journey or progression. You have to have some sort of central point. And I feel like a coach is a really good option for that central point.
Yes.
But if you don't trust in your coach, you're just going to be, you know, like pinballing around, right? And you're not going to be able to.
Stressed out.
Yeah, exactly. That's the worst thing, right? That's part of having a coach, is to have them tell you what to do and for you to be able to put your mind at ease and know that you're going in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Exactly. Okay, so have you ever... Okay, for bodybuilding.
For bodybuilding, I got the typical, I had you in first, right? That was, which he may have, like, I don't think he said that. He said, I liked you. That's what he said. He said, I liked you. But, you know, maybe, and I forgot, maybe a little tighter, I think, what he said.
Okay.
Maybe things.
Okay.
I don't know. The guy who got first at that show, his midsection was tiny.
Yeah.
He looked really good. So this is his first show, too. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know. Did we even get judge feedback at?
I think we kind of knew.
Yeah. I mean, first call outs, I was like, I'm doing weird things with my body. My body was kind of stressed, so it looked a little softer than I wanted it to. And I couldn't find my right positioning. I was looking back at some of those pictures. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing, man?
I think if you know, like, and that happens sometimes too, you kind of know, like, all right.
Go get some dinner.
I need to
get some rest. Wake up the next day. Get back to the gym.
Yeah. Because not every peak goes perfect.
That's okay.
Sometimes you get on stage and you're like, I'm going to do the best I can, but I know I can do better. Yep. But you have to follow through. Like, follow through and.
Yeah. Just get the experience, because just stepping across that stage is just. And sometimes when you go into it with that mentality of like, I kind of fucked this up, then you can kind of go in, well, it is what it is. Now I'm just going to have some fun, right? I'm going to get the experience of doing it. That's kind of where I was, especially at the night show, because we went out, we had five guys for lunch.
And yeah.
I was able to kind of like, it was done at that point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I did the morning show and, you know, so.
Well, that's the other thing too, is sometimes people get bummed that they're like not a bunch of people to compete against, and they're like, they're like, well, I just won by default.
Mm-hmm.
But if that happens to you, like, use that as experience to go out and build confidence. You can always build more confidence.
Yes.
But yeah. Okay. So that's, you kind of had like a mix of feedback, nothing really crazy.
Yeah.
I've gotten some.
I think guy to guy, it's very easy to just like, you need to be bigger. You need a bigger chest. You know what I mean? Like, that's all.
So. The communication with males is, I'm learning to appreciate it more and more. Just mm-hmm. get to the point. But the, so for me, judge feedback, I have gotten feedback when I've been at my absolute worst. A judge told me more, and he used this hand gesture.
He just said more.
More. And I was like, okay. Noted. But you know what? I knew what he meant. Mm-hmm. I knew what he meant, because I was extremely atrophied And I looked like I had no muscle in that stage.
Yeah.
So he wasn't wrong. And I knew, like, once I was there, I kind of knew. But he wasn't wrong. And I knew I had a lot of work to do. That's what I took from that feedback. Crazy how one word could just really make so much sense.
Yeah, we got other feedback that trip, too.
Yes, we did. Yeah. And I appreciated that we asked that other judge some feedback. And she asked if she could be very honest.
She said, "Are you sure? You know, are you sure?" And then she was. She was very honest, but she's a very nice. And by the way, if you're out in Nevada, Reno, go to American Iron Gym. It's a beautiful gym, great facility. They have powerlifting, strongman, bodybuilding stuff, free weights.
I love their gym.
They got everything out there. So,
she was very helpful. That was a good. That was a big turning point for me talking to her. Another like random piece of feedback that I got once that I thought was very helpful was. When I was competing in 2023 in, oh man, what show was that? Southern USA's? No. I don't know. It was a show in Florida. I think it was Southern USA. I wore my hair curly with a green suit in the morning, and I wore my hair straight with a red suit at night. I was in third call out, so I figured, let me just try something up. And I had my friend Sam with our friend Sam, she's our friend. She was there at the show and she was like, yeah, let's just do a different look. Let's try something different. So we straightened my hair. She let me borrow her red suit. And the first thing that judge came back and said to me after that show, she said the nighttime look was so much better. And to me, it was like, I thought both looked cool, but she was like very impressed.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. You were relaxed enough to say, let's do it. Let's try something, right? Because that's what these shows are about, is trying stuff and seeing what works. Throw some shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. And there is like, if you're not in the top, like the top call outs or something like that, there is room to try things and see what happens with your body. Like, don't just be like, oh, I didn't get the placement I wanted, so screw the rest of this day. Like, no, hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on, because there's opportunity to experiment with a couple of things, maybe some food, like fluid. Like, if you miss the mark somewhere, you might be able to salvage it for the evening. And first of all, I have seen people rejudge shows, so it's very few and far between, but like, just.
Yeah, the lower down you go, the more set in stone it is, I think, after the prejudging.
Just follow through. My point is to follow through.
Yeah.
And yeah, try some things. A suit and a new look. That could be fun. Like, okay, let's just see what this looks like on stage. Yeah. So shout out to Sam. Sam knows her stuff. She knows the beauty aspect of things, the makeup, hair, the tan. She knows how to make bikini competitors look their absolute best. She also does some posing. So you should look her up, 360 posing.
Yeah, we actually use that look for your next show too.
But yeah, that's to say, is that look, I was like, okay, well, this is my look. Thank you, Sam. And then I did that. I wore that look in Miami. And first of all, it was fun.
Saved money.
It saved me a lot of money.
Straighten your hair and stuff.
Yeah. So like, just stuff like that. Like, you just don't know. But yeah, that was like fun feedback and a fun experience. Yeah. Okay. So with bodybuilding, I think we've covered a lot of like what happens with judges, like, you know, go up there, get your notes out. Like, I just write down key things. Also, move along, realize there's a line of people there. So be prepared. Don't stand there and kiss ass for too long. It's really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also a judge knows, like, they know when you're sitting there trying to blah, blah, blah. So just go there, get your feedback, show up better next time. Judges appreciate that. If you take their critique intentionally and you show up with improvements, they notice.
People can tell when you're about business and when you're full of shit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So like, do your part that way as an athlete. Always go back and talk to your coach. I have gotten athletes that say, here was my feedback. What do you think? And we can collectively say, that was a waste of time because that doesn't make sense. Or, okay, I can see where this would apply. Let's try X, Y, and Z moving forward.
Yes.
Now, with powerlifting, because we do work with strength sports, we do have judges that make calls. Again, these people are also human. Go figure. So you might not always be getting the call that you think you deserve. So I've always gotten the call I think I deserved in my one competition. But TC, tell us about any feedback you have on getting judge or getting a judge call that you may not disagree with as an athlete.
Well, a couple of rules here. Rule A is if you miss a lift or even if you just get one red light, probably especially if you got one red light, you want to go talk to that judge, see why they gave you a red light. Rule number two is do not argue with the judges. Okay, we're running a competition. Ideally, we have 1 minute per lifter. And if you're standing there arguing with a judge for 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 minutes, that puts the entire schedule back, right? And
arguing with a judge is never a good idea in any sport, mm-hmm. just by the way.
Okay, and what are you going to gain out of arguing with a judge at a powerlifting? There's no instant replay. They're not going to go back and change their mind because you said something. And even if you have a friend who is videoing the lift, like, you're not going to stop the entire competition to watch every single person who has a video who wants to challenge a judge's
yes.
call.
Yes.
It's just, it's unrealistic from a logistical standpoint. And it's also, like, kind of rude and inconsiderate from just a personal standpoint, right? Now, like you said, you might not agree with it. One time I was running an event out in Phoenix, and this guy was doing a bench press, and he was sure that he was shafted on this call because he got a red light for missing the rack command.
Okay.
And he showed me the video. And luckily, I was, you know, I had judges and spotters and loaders. Pff, miracle. Enough for me to not have to do these jobs at this event. But I watched the video and I said, look, man, it looks like you're drifting backwards.
Oh, okay.
After you lock out, you can't be drifting back towards the J cups. He's like, I lock out over my head. I said, but your arms lock out over your chest and then it starts drifting backwards. Right. So just because you think something is happening doesn't mean that the outside perspective is the same thing. Right. Because that's how this guy lifts in his gym. Mm-hmm. So that brings me to kind of a training / coaching point is I tell all of my athletes, kind of like I was saying, hold your poses for 30 to 60 seconds. I tell all of my athletes to hold your lockouts for a longer and extended amount of time. Hold your lockout for your squats before you walk it in. Don't just stand up and start walking because that could cause a torsional injury to your spine. Like just as one thing, right? You want to let that weight settle before you start walking it in. But really from a competition standpoint, you don't want to miss that rack command. I've done that so many times on bench and squat. It's just like so irritating. You get the lift and as soon as the bar touches that rack, you know.
Yeah.
You remember and you're like, oh, you idiot.
Yeah.
Those
are good points. Those are good training points.
Yeah. Yeah. Own the lockout. Own it. Right. I use it as an opportunity to build my brace and to get as literally as tight as possible. Right. I did it before my lift, but maybe I lost a little bit of tension. So I try to get as tight as possible. I own that weight and then I rack it. Okay, back to judges' feedback in powerlifting. So always get your judges' feedback, whether you get any or one red light, 2 or 3 red lights. Unless you just miss the lift, then you don't really need judges' feedback.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But same thing with bodybuilding. You and your coach should go into this event pretty prepared, right? Because you should be sending your coach videos. And if we know that we have a foot movement issue, we should have a band around your ankles when you're bench pressing. If we know that we have a premature racking issue, we should be doing maybe heavy rack holds or just programming the hold in there, making you hold it a full minute or whatever it is after you're done with your working sets. But you and your coach should kind of go into these things, and you're not going to hit it out of the park. You're not going to get 100%. There's probably going to be something that you missed. Mm-hmm. You get that judge feedback, and you make sure that you're prioritizing that weak point going forward. Like one of our athletes at Worlds. All of the videos that she sent me were directly from the side beforehand. And at Worlds, I saw like a ton of knee valgus and I was like, oh my God, I didn't even see it. Happening. Oh, right. Yeah. So getting a new perspective it's very powerful, and beneficial. Right. But powerlifting is about form, repetition, just like bodybuilding, I guess, when we're talking about posing. Powerlifting is about form, repetition, and being able to do the same exact thing for every single rep. So your video camera is going to be your best friend. So generally speaking, if you are practiced enough going into a powerlifting event, you shouldn't really need the judge feedback. You should feel if your foot slips, because you should feel if your foot moves. You should feel if you had soft knees in your lockout and deadlift. That's a big one that I see. Like, people hyperextend through their low back and then they get soft knees, which is, man, I've had an athlete get called for soft knees. I didn't see the soft knees, right? Like, but that's the thing. I'm not going to go up there and argue with the judges. I disagree with the call, but at the end of the day, it's a local competition. It's not like this is IPF Worlds and it's not the Olympics. You know what I mean? So you just got to pick your battles, right? So does it really matter right now?
I think that's a really good point about, like, not arguing. It can be really frustrating, especially when you are like, I did this, and I'm not getting rewarded for it. And I've prepared for this. Like, that, like, in any sport, that can be very, very frustrating.
Yeah, yep.
But there's something about just, like, taking your L's, I think. Even if you feel like it's unfair, like, continuing to have, like, the athlete advanced, one word at a time I'm going to talk today, demeanor, just, like, yeah, a advanced demeanor.
Well, okay, so my dad described it to me like this. He said the coach's kid is always going to play before you, unless you are undeniably better. Be undeniable. And if you get called on depth, look. Well, I think it was my last meet, my last powerlifting meet, that I did full power. I've done, like, some deadlift stuff. I got called on depth for a squat, and you were recording.
Yeah.
And it was the same exact angle. You got it from the same both times. And a guy screenshotted both of my bottoms of my squats, and it looks literally exactly the same.
Yes.
Because that's how I practice, right? Yeah. Like, I squat exactly the same every time I squat, because I don't want to waste energy going deeper. I'm trying to get my competition squat as high as possible. So I'm going to do exactly what I need to do in that competition. And if I do accessories, I might do some Astrograss, right? I'll go deeper on my transformer bar squats. But if I'm doing a back squat, I am practicing that exact competition depth, and that's what I'm doing. And you could tell, you could see it in these screenshots. But look, you didn't want to give it to me. That's okay. It's really not a big deal. I got what I came for. And like you said, take your L's, just walk away. And look, if you never want to get called for depth again, go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Take what you've been doing and go 2 inches deeper. And I guarantee you will never get called for depth, ever. But people don't want to do that. They want to blame someone else for why they failed. And that is not an elite athlete mentality.
Yes. Yeah.
Anytime you walk away and say, well, so-and-so, blah, 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 and that's why I didn't do well, you're taking something away from yourself, right? You're taking away that opportunity for improvement for yourself as an athlete with these aspirations.
Yeah.
And as a coach, man, it's our job to not allow you to do that, right? It's our job to take ownership, right? Yes. But it's also our job to lead and to show how to take this ownership so that we can maintain this control over our prep, right? If you're constantly saying it's so-and-so's fault, you're giving away all of the control in your journey.
Yes.
Right? And so maintain that control, retain that ownership, retain that personal responsibility surrounding your lifts, your preps, your progress. And you're not going to be disappointed, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I will say the happiest athletes that I see are the ones that take the most ownership.
Yeah.
And they're not happy because everything goes their way, but they're just like, they take it with, like, this is how it is. And now what am I going to do to continue?
Mm-hmm.
Or what am I going to do to ensure this doesn't happen again? Yeah. Or like you're saying, just taking control. So,
well, think of my last USAPL meet, the last one that I did. And I did that sauna cut.
Oh, in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
I could have said, well, you know, we worked at, it was a gym. It didn't have AC. We had to lift outside under a tent. I had to wear a face mask and blah, blah.
And the bar was the wrong.
Yeah, the bar was too big. It was a different diameter. It was a 31 mil. Look, so what? So what? It is what it is. You didn't prepare well enough, right? And I say all this. I got best lifter at that. I went 5 for 9, though. And I had 50 kilos off of my projected total. So remember that whether it's for better or worse, whether like you did really well or really poorly against whatever competition showed up that day, it's always going to be you versus what you are capable of, mm-hmm. right? If someone walked in off the street and trained for a month and a half and then competed against me in a powerlifting show and was sad that they lost, how A, disrespectful is that to me? Mm-hmm. And B, how ignorant is it of the person of this process, right? You know, it's like these things don't happen by accident. And it takes just consistency over time, a lot of time.
Yeah, exactly.
And another thing, I was in the gas station. I think I told you about this, the gas station the other day, and this kid was like, oh, man, how do I get arms like you? I said, just keep showing up, man. He said, I don't know. I've been showing up for a while now. And I could tell this kid, if he was 21, it was old. I said, dude, I've been doing this for 20 years, man. He said, oh, yeah, that's a while. Like, dude, I don't know if you've been working out for a few months, but, like, man, that's what I mean. Like, people just, they don't understand how long this stuff takes, you know?
Yes.
So, and that's why everyone looks at me and says, well, drugs. Well, mm-hmm. okay, no, but thank you. So, yeah, it's consistent. You just keep showing up and do it for you. Know your why, keep showing up, and don't get distracted by the noise, because mm-hmm. that's what happens.
Yeah.
Some judge feedback is valuable. Some of it is not. Some of your friends' feedback is valuable. Some of it is not. Don't get distracted by the noise. You know where you're going. If you know where you're going, right? First, rule one is know where you're going.
Yeah.
And then if you know where you're going, keep going. Find someone who can take you there and keep going.
Exactly. And I think it's important. So going off of that, let's talk a little bit about like coach's responsibility when it comes to judge feedback. Coach's feedback, but then also like how a coach handles judge feedback. Because I see this too. I see some coaches just display all of their emotions about either the call, the judging. Yeah. They're setting the example, but they're also like, you're highly influencing that athlete mm-hmm. and in a negative way if you're not keeping yourself under control.
Yeah.
That athlete already has enough feelings going on about what's happening. They're there trying to perform. And if you are just like losing your shit, it's going to make that situation so much more overwhelming. Like it's kind of like your mom. So TC's mom, she raised a bunch of boys. She's a great, great mom for boys. They would always like get hurt and do all kinds of crazy stuff. And she would always just remain.
Yep. She would say, you're fine. Instead of saying, are you okay? She would look at it and say, you're fine. And because look, if you ask the kid, maybe they're in a little bit of pain. They're like, it hurts. And like, and then now the mom's freaking out. Whereas my mom was like, nah, you're fine. And then I'm like, okay, well, it hurts a little, but my mom says I'm fine. So I must be fine.
People are looking for direction.
Yeah.
So if you're in a position of leadership, they're looking to you for direction. Mm-hmm. And that's your opportunity to like display how this should be handled.
Yeah.
So just like your mom, like if your mom was freaking out, you would be freaking out. And now the whole situation has just gotten like to a new level, and we need to bring it back down to then have like action steps to handle it. So for coaches, like there's been times where I've been a little frustrated, but I share that with my partner mm-hmm. in privacy, and we talk about it, and that's how I work through it as a human being, because I am human. But I don't go out there and just like tell my clients, you've been cheated. This show is like a bunch of blah, blah, blah. Like that's not helpful to them.
They just award this team.
That's not hopeful.
Yeah. Be constructive. Right. And if you're just trying to gas them up because they're sad because they lost, that is not being a good leader. Not being a good coach. Yeah. It's not being helpful. We have to look for how we can improve in the future, not saying you should have won, right? Again, that's not like you're saying, that's not helpful. Whether or not it's true, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. Even if it's true, you still say, we're going to do it better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today wasn't our time. That's okay. We're going to do better.
And I think for everybody, when you're getting feedback, there can be a lot of emotions involved because of like hard work and fatigue. But separating emotion from an objective viewpoint is going to provide the best.
Yeah, you have to remove emotion.
Yeah. You just have to look at it as like, this doesn't have anything. This is just, it is what it is. there's action steps and whatever. So yeah, I think like coaches do have a responsibility in that way to set the precedence, like remain calm. If you need time to process, like, I think that's always good advice. Like, you've just got feedback, take some time, process, go sleep. Everybody needs to sleep.
Yeah.
And then reconvene. Let's analyze this together and then let's figure out what we're going to do next. And I think in that same vein, coaches should be able to provide specific things to improve. I've heard coaches talk in circles about, well, this and that and blah, blah, blah. Same thing, like shifting blame into other things when maybe you messed up that protocol for that athlete. Maybe you overshot carbs. Maybe the athlete didn't do everything they were supposed to do on their peak. Like, they're...
Well, also, like you said, maybe you messed it up, maybe you overshot carbs. That's not necessarily messing it up, right? Because you're trying stuff. Again, each prep is an opportunity to try something new rather than just trying to do the same thing and hoping for a better result, mm-hmm. right? If something isn't working, we need to change something. But if we have a fearful mentality and we're unwilling to change anything, then you're never going to be able to make any progress. You can't be afraid of failure. Right. And sometimes you're going to give them too much carbs. Sometimes you're not going to give them enough carbs. Sometimes they're going to be a little dehydrated. Sometimes they had too much salt. Sometimes they didn't have enough. You know what I mean? Like, there are so many variables, and there are so many variables that come into play when you're talking about making the perfect physique. And then all those variables are different for each person, whether it's age, whether it's just genetics, whether it's just this person to this person. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So don't be, again, as a coach, you're not failing. Just because something didn't work perfectly doesn't mean that you failed. Doesn't mean that you messed it up. It just means it should be exciting because now we have an opportunity for improvement. We're going to try this next time because we see that this did this.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for coaches, as long as you're paying attention, I think that's the one thing that just you need to do is just mm-hmm. pay attention.
Yeah.
There'll be some times where I just want a little bit extra information. Send me a posing video in the evening, or I want you to send me a picture, like pictures first thing before you eat anything. Sometimes just like a little bit more information kind of locks in. And I think the closer you get to like that time that you're stepping on stage, you know, you really kind of want to just kind of keep tabs because the work is done, but I've seen stress affect people in weird ways. I'm digressing here, but a coach should pay attention and collect information because that you can apply to the feedback when your athlete may be like, hey, I just feel like my glutes weren't full enough on stage. And so then that's the opportunity to like talk about, okay,
yeah,
this is the protocol we did to load you. Mm-hmm. I think that it was an adequate load. I just think we need to be more conditioned for us to see the more volume in your glutes.
Yeah.
Or we had this hiccup that happened in the beginning of the week, so we had to reevaluate. Next time we do peak week, we're going to avoid having this hiccup, and we're going to be able to follow through in your peak and not have to problem solve.
Well, you can also say, all right, let's run it back. Don't go crazy tonight. Don't go crazy tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is what you're eating. Let's try. Let's see. And a lot of times, unfortunately, that's an extra variable because one peak week after the next can sometimes produce a better result, even if you do the exact same thing. But it's still collecting information, right? And any chance that you have as an athlete to collect information, especially as a bodybuilding athlete, man, it sucks. Getting lean sucks, right? So if you're that lean, take the opportunity. Do a couple peaks, do a couple shows, do a photo shoot, like enjoy the time being lean so that you can get the most out of it.
Mm-hmm. Peaks can be tricky because bodies are different and they can be different from like within weeks apart, they can be different. Yeah. So
the body adapts. It's constantly adapting to stuff.
Well, sometimes people get leaner too. You mm-hmm. just have to feed them more.
Yeah.
So you have to, that's what I mean, is you just have to keep paying attention as a coach.
Exactly.
But
and that's why I say that you're not failing, because you're paying attention. You're just reacting to what the body's doing. And yeah, it's tough. It is tough.
But I think coaches and athletes should speak about judge feedback together.
Yeah.
So, and I so appreciate that anytime I'm out there, an athlete is getting feedback and sharing it with me so we can talk about it. Because it should be addressed. Like, I think an athlete should hear from their coach their perspective on it. Because like you said, if it's ambiguous or unclear, or they have their own ideas about what they think should happen, it can kind of like rattle around in your head, and then it can create doubt. Like, you and your coach should always be having those conversations and on the same page. And a coach, again, should have some idea of like what to explain to you versus like just, talking in circles and not making sense.
No, you're doing great. And I think the last aspect of it is athlete feedback. And you kind of touched on it. My glutes didn't feel full. Your experience matters heavily, obviously, right? Like, that's a duh thing to say, but I feel like it's something that not a lot of people take into account, especially when it comes to like someone's stress levels. And everyone says like, oh, you can't be stressed out, stress causes blah blah blah, but like, we don't talk about how to mentally approach a prep and a peak to effectively eliminate that stress. And if all you're doing is constantly observing and seeing how you can do better, if all you're looking for is how you can do better instead of seeing how you're enough, right? And unfortunately, that's how so many people's mindsets are framed right now, is this is enough, or this shows that I am worthy, or that, you know what I mean? Like, it's a self-worth thing instead of starting off with saying, I know I'm already enough and worthy. And then saying, how can I get better?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's that mentality shift that can definitely take a lot of that stress out of it. And then allow you to get that objective feedback instead of just saying, yeah, it sucked. Okay. But you didn't come in lean enough, and we were only doing 30 minutes of cardio a day. Right. Okay. But like, okay, so how much did it really suck? Or is that just your emotions talking?
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway,
I agree. I think an athlete's feedback, and what you tell your coach is very valuable. So if you miss things within your peak, or I don't know, you're blah, blah, blah. Like, small details sometimes can make a difference. So like, the information your coach has is going to allow you to help produce the best result on stage. So,
and
like,
it's training you to have that mentality and perspective as well, right? Instead of looking at your emotions, you're looking at objective things that can make you better. Right. Or your emotions are going to try to hold you back. They're like, oh, dude, you need to eat food. You need to stop moving. You can't walk this. Right. Like, it's going to tell you to slow down because your body is an energy conservationist. But we know what our goals are, and we have to keep pushing. So we have to look at objective markers, not the emotional ones. Now, having said that, I'm saying all of that in an effort to help alleviate the pressure of those emotions, because if you're not paying, if you know, the plant grows is the one that is watered, right? So if we're trying not to pay as much attention to these emotional checkpoints, and we're only looking at the objective ones, and we're seeing, okay, I am getting leaner, my weight is going down week after week, even if it's only a pound a week, I am seeing
or
more
a
lines
quarter of a pound.
It doesn't really matter. The weight doesn't matter, right? I mean, ideally we're coming on stage heavier and heavier every year. Like, that's the goal, is to put more muscle on.
That is the goal. Yeah.
So really we're looking at like lines and how we're feeling, and in terms of, you know, like body, like kinetic chain, not emotional. Anyway, I'm kind of rambling too, so I'll wrap it up.
It is the hardest thing for me as a coach, having those like hard, honest conversations, because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I have played out in my head, okay, if I don't say anything, this is the trajectory we're going on. They're going to get on stage. They're going to be in this, like, with this physique. What's the outcome? Versus I say, like, hey, you have a lot more potential. We need to, like, make some changes. We need to do something different. Because there's nothing worse than someone getting off stage and just being like completely bummed when they kind of had it in their brain already that they weren't ready in time. And that, you know, there's some athletes that will never feel like they're ready. But as a coach, like, it's your job to it's your job to be honest with people and tell them, like, you need more time, you need to work harder, you need to, like, drop this.
Well, and the be ready thing too, I think that goes back to objective versus emotional, right? You should develop your eye enough to know where you stand realistically compared to other people, right?
Unless you're very new, then you still need,
sure,
need your coach to kind of help you.
Yeah.
But so be honest. Honesty is good for everybody. be kind, but be honest. Okay, so let's move on to a little bit of like criticism, because I feel like I feel that bodybuilders often get a lot of criticism. I feel like strength athletes, specifically women, get a lot of criticism. So while we're out there trying to achieve our goals and be great athletes, we're just like fielding some hate. So let's first start about like people within the sport making specific statements and how that's affecting like athlete mentality. Do we talk about that? Okay. So for example, I'll see some high level athletes, maybe not coaches, just successful athletes, speaking in like very, they're speaking in specific instances about certain things. Like here's like a silly example, like you need to train your glutes 7 days a week. That's a silly example. Train your glutes 7 days a week. That's how I got these Olympia glutes. This is what you need to be doing. Where cool, but that is not really helpful information for everyone. And so I think if you're looking at, a lot of times we're seeing through the lens of social media when we're looking at people within our sport that we really appreciate, just always take it with a grain of salt and realize that there are agendas through social media as well. Yeah. So like things that are trendy, things that are eye-catching, things that people are going to respond to, clickbait stuff. Like a lot of times that's what people are seeing and then they're buying into and they're not stopping to say, is that really true? Like, do I really need to train my glutes 7 days a week to look like so-and-so? So just remember, like, there is that caveat.
Take it one step further. Let's assume that they're being 100% completely honest with everything that they're saying. And everything that they're saying is true. I train my glutes 7 days a week to get to the Olympia. Does that mean that you should do it too? Right? We've been talking about all the variables that each human has. And maybe this person has a rich husband who makes it so that she doesn't have... Okay, let's... So I'm not being sexist. Let's say it was a guy, okay, and he doesn't have to work because his wife makes buku bucks or whatever it is. I really don't care. Someone doesn't have to work, and they can train 7 days a week, and they're training like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they're six hours in the gym, and they're also getting one massage per week because they have the money. They're getting red light therapy. They're doing literally every – you know what I mean? Like – is that your life? Or do you have a bunch of screaming kids at home and a full-time job and like you're trying to figure out this stress mitigation thing, you know?
Yes, there you go.
So, yeah, just make sure that, again, you're receiving these things objectively and not emotionally, right? Don't just latch onto the first thing that you see or even the next shiny thing that you see. Again, do you trust your coach? If you trust your coach, then talk to them. And if you see something that's interesting, share it with them, right? Because that's how everyone grows. We love it when our athletes send us stuff because either we've seen it and we have a comment on it or we haven't seen it and we'll comment on it, right? Or we learn something, right?
Yeah.
So, that's it.
Yeah, I think that's just a, like, word of caution for people that are looking to expand their knowledge in the sport. So they're looking at high-level people within the sport, and it's not always helpful information.
Yeah.
There are trainers, and not that we're, like, the experts in things, but there are ways to be able to, like, weed out and understand what is actual, like, applicable and science and how would I take this information and apply it to my specific situation and my specific body and just general statements that are like, you should be doing this. And it really doesn't even make sense. Mm-hmm. So just be cautious as you're what you're consuming.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of guys out there saying you shouldn't do hip thrusts, like targeting bikini athletes and stuff, saying you don't need to do hip thrusts. Like it's a silly thing, but I mean, that's a very easy example is that, like, no, like that's obviously that's silly. That's just a silly telling someone you shouldn't do this one specific exercise. Use them all, cycle them in.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, there's that. And then there's, a specific trainer that doesn't make any sense when he talks.
Oh man.
And, man, I can't,
he likes talking though.
I can't stomach it. And I just like, it's always like the intent behind people. I think that I really try and like feel the vibrations of like if you have such a big ego that you have to talk in a specific way that is making, like, you first of all have to use like terminology that doesn't even make sense in a sentence to make yourself sound smart. And you're trying to talk down to people because you know what you're doing and they don't. I don't know. I just think that there's good people with intelligence and I would rather support them. So, okay. We're going to jump off this topic. So if you are getting criticism from people outside of the sport, so, you know, maybe a spouse is saying something to you or your friends are like,
you're going too hard. You need to eat some food.
Oh my gosh.
You stop doing so much cardio.
First of all, if you're in bodybuilding, I am sure that you've heard those phrases.
Yep.
Just expect to hear them.
It'll be okay. You can have this food right now. You don't have to eat that.
Try it. Yeah. Try this.
One bite won't hurt.
You're getting too skinny.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Because remember that like the life of an athlete is going to extremes that most of the population is not going to do. Not going to diet that hard. Not going to lift that heavy. Like for the most part, it's about being set apart. So if you're getting some of those phrases and that those sentences like flying towards you, it's okay. You're in this.
Yeah. Just smile and know that you're
progress. Set apart. You're doing something that other people are not willing to do.
Yeah.
And I think that to help support you in your endeavors, it's good to have like people around you that are within that, sport, I guess. Yeah. To be able to connect with and kind of like refill your cup.
Yeah.
It's very hard to be on alone on an island where no one understands what you're doing.
Well, if you're an eagle and you go try scratching around with the chickens, you're not going to fly very high, right? You have to surround yourself with who you want to be.
Yeah.
And the more we're able to do that, and sometimes, unfortunately, that means cutting out old relationships. And you don't have to like say, you're dead to me, right? But if someone only eats junk food and watches TV and never wants to go to the gym and wants to, you know, say, why are you always going to the gym? And we blah, 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 blah. Like, you probably shouldn't hang out with them all the time if your goal is to be a competitive athlete.
I also think a true friend will support
exactly
what their friend wants to do as long as it's not harming. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where sometimes it becomes a gray area is because people that love us are seeing the extreme results of this effort and they may get a little bit concerned because they don't completely understand it.
Yep.
I've had family members, same thing, say to me like, well.
Well, in all fairness, they say something to you when your prep was not healthy.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, is
when your
like,
prep was healthy, they could see it.
Which is very interesting because I have had, I've had my
and maybe it's because I had that experience, right? The juxtaposition of you're healthy versus unhealthy.
Like, wow, you're so healthy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so lean right now. but yeah, so like there, but it also took repetition for them to understand, like, this is what she does. There's periods where she's super lean and she has to be very particular about her diet. She has to stick to her regimen and that it's okay because she will eat these Christmas cookies at another time.
Or I will.
Or TC will eat them. Or just have a partner that eats all the food to make your Sicilian mom happy. But yeah, so I think that that can be hard. It can be hard to stomach, especially if it's someone that's very close to you, specifically a spouse.
Mm-hmm. I think involving them in the process.
I would agree.
Is important. Because then they can see what's happening. They can see the intentionality behind it. They can see the end goal. It's almost like, I don't know if anyone out there has realized that, like, if you're going to a new place and you put in your Google Maps, it always feels like it takes longer to get there than it takes to get home. Mm. So, yeah, I think the more that they know and the more in the know they are, because that's what it is by that point, now you're familiar. So you feel like you feel the getting closer. Whereas when you're going somewhere new, you don't feel that you're getting any closer the entire time.
Yeah.
And it could be like that from a spouse's standpoint. You're just starving yourself and you're getting smaller and leaner and grumpier. And like,
yeah.
The spouse is like, dude, I'm tired of taking some shit from you.
Yeah.
So that's another important aspect to mention is like, you're getting grumpy. You are irritable. I promise you, no matter how good you are, no matter how nice you are more irritable when you're dieting. I can promise you.
Yes.
So just try to have some grace, with your partner, say thank you to your partner often, because the more appreciated they feel during your prep, the more they'll be able to support you, because they will still feel like their cup is getting filled instead of just perpetually emptied, right?
Yes.
We have to make sure that we're focusing on other people throughout this prep as well. Like a prep is, it's a very selfish thing. So yeah, we got to do it, but we have to understand that you have to have a support network, which is generally comprised of your family and your coach.
Yes.
So being appreciative of those team members and remembering that you're on the same team.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes that's Chris and I say that like when we're like, you get, like almost getting into an argument, it's like, I'm on your team. You're on my team. We're on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
We're not fighting each other. And it's so, there are so many distractions, and whether it's because you're tired or hungry or grumpy about someone else, or feel like you've been being taken advantage by someone else, like, just remember to separate those things when it's time to come home and understand that that's your pocket, that's your protection, and you have to respect that.
Yeah.
You have to.
And I think that will diffuse a lot of like negativity from your partner if they are feeling included, and you're communicating, like you're letting them know. Oh, and you're also like taking responsibility of if you are grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay to be like, well, I'm dieting, so if you were in my position, you would be this upset too. Like, that's not fair.
Well, what you could flip that. You could say, well, if I were in your position and if I were acting like this, would you be okay with it? And in that position, the athlete would say, yeah, of course I would, because I would understand. But like, no one likes being snapped at. I could promise you, like once or twice, like, okay, but it adds up. It adds up, especially if you don't erase it by saying, thank you, I know I've been a little irritable, I've been on edge, I appreciate you, thank you for taking care of me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So. And I think the deeper you get into prep, the harder you're pushing, you're going to have more instances where you might not be the best version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So just be like vigilant of that, so that you're not starting off your prep being grumpy and miserable and you're putting your partner through like 8 months of bodybuilding terror, because now they're like, I hate bodybuilding, look what it does to my partner. Like,
well, and also remember, like, you chose to do this, you wanted to do this, right?
You wanted to suffer.
That's exactly it. You wanted to be lean. No one wants to be hungry, but you wanted to be lean.
Yeah.
And I think that's another disconnect, is so many people want the end goal but they don't want the process, and that's why they aren't successful as athletes. Right, the most successful athletes that you see, they just love doing it, right? Like Whitney, what's her name, right? She's like a gymnast, and she went out there and she competed with her broken leg.
Oh, like, Whitney Jones?
Yeah. She just loves doing it. She can't be stopped, right? She's like the Energizer Bunny. So you have to love the process.
Yeah.
You have to be a little bit of a masochist. You have to, man. And I'm kind of realizing that these past few weeks with my back rehab and starting to push again, I'm starting to feel motor units reactivate, and I'm realizing why it took so long for me to like clear up these last little vestiges of my low back issue. And it's because it requires effort. You have to keep pushing, because like I mentioned earlier, your body's an energy conservationist. And if you're not pushing hard enough, it's not going to recruit all of the motor units necessary to be able to rebuild that stability. And it's going to try to keep certain motor units tight because of that previous injury. So we have to loosen them up and reinstill that flexion extension. Anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent here.
You are really into that.
Yeah, come back.
I love it.
Effort.
So be understanding of your partner.
Yeah.
Things that I have noticed that my clients have done to kind of include their partner is if they have to do cardio, they'll incorporate cardio with their partner. Okay, everyone can do some cardio.
Mm-hmm. Put the treadmill in the living room.
Go for a walk together, get steps together. Like, that's an easy way to just kind of like go do a couple thing. Also have people that they like going to shows with their spouse, which that's one thing that that's probably my favorite part of show day. It's like when it's all done, I get to go out to dinner with you. That's like my, yeah, it's great. Because we never get to go out to dinner otherwise. No, just kidding. But anyways,
we don't go out to dinner.
I mean, pretty much if we're being honest.
Yeah.
But they will go to the show with their spouse. They have like this place that they like to have dinner. So they go there and then they have breakfast together. Like they kind of make it into and Sunday they may go like sightsee, like they make it into a little mini vacation so that they're both moving towards something together. Yeah. And I think
it's an exciting thing to look forward to at the end of your prep.
Yeah.
That's what.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, being able to ask for help, I think, is important too. Just like, hey, can you help like cut up these vegetables or something where the person is able to like aid the other one. Sometimes that's very fulfilling. Sometimes like bodybuilding becomes such like an isolated situation that like you don't know how to be involved. But there's little things that if you can ask for help and your partner's looking to do something to step in and actually help you, they'll be ready for it. And it's a way that you guys can kind of, you feel appreciated because they're getting something done for you. They feel valued because they're providing a service.
It's either building your bond up or breaking it down, right? That's what a bodybuilding prep has the potential to do. Either you lean on your partner and you show appreciation for letting them, allowing you to lean on them, or you hold yourself up in this emotional pit and you wall yourself off from your partner, whether it's because you're trying to protect them from your grumpiness or whatever it is, and now there's a wedge between you. Mm-hmm. I think just maintaining sight, again, like we've talked about earlier, just knowing your why and being able to remind yourself of that when shit sucks.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. It was a social media thing for a while. Embrace the suck. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. You to be elite, the shit, it like it sucks to get there, man. But it's worth it.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Do you think more men or more women get criticism with our sport?
Women.
I think so too.
Yeah, because guys are always trying to show women how much they know by telling them how little they know and what they're doing wrong. Fucking idiots.
Okay, I did ask you that question on the spot, but I would agree. I think that
they get called manly. Well, and then there's the little man syndrome, right, where a guy who can deadlift or bench 200 pounds sees a girl benching 185 or 225 or whatever it is and talking about their arch and this and the other. Shut the fuck up, dude. Like,
it's amazing to me.
You don't see strong people talking about women. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. So just,
you don't see successful athletes talking about women who are training to be a successful athlete. That's how I should say that.
Yes. Yes. So if you're experiencing criticism in that way, whether someone's telling you what to do with bodybuilding or telling you how to lift better or whatever, because that happens a lot. You're not alone. I've gotten criticism for certain specific things from males, never from a female, always from a male. And I know some other female athletes as well that get, mostly through social media, just a lot of unsolicited opinions on what they're doing. So, congratulations, you've arrived. If that's happening to you, you are important enough for these trolls to say something to you.
Well, you've reached a new tier, right? And what they say is, no one above you will ever try to pull you down. Only people below you can do that. So for every tier you reach, there's more people below you that have the potential of trying to pull you down. So understand that. And we've discussed that about growing a social media following and growing your YouTube channel and you saying like, I got to grow a thicker skin because you know you're going to get those negative comments.
Yeah.
No matter who you are, no matter how nice you are, no matter how good you are, you're going to get the negative comments.
Yeah.
So be ready for it and understand that. Well, I'm sorry your life is that bad that you have to project it onto me in this negative comment, right?
Usually, like, something like that would make me upset at first, but then it makes me laugh afterwards.
Yeah. The worst I've gotten is, like, trying to get pats on the back by posting, like, my total and my physique.
Oh, okay.
And saying I'm a natural athlete and having guys say, you don't have to lie, it's still impressive. Yeah. But you're obviously not natural. Hmm. And, you know, I tell everyone, oh, I take it as a compliment. But it sucks because what they're doing is taking away from your hard work. Mm-hmm. I've worked my ass off for this for a long time. I've shown up so many days when I just did not want. The last thing I wanted to do was be in that gym for whatever reason, whether it's because I'm fighting with my significant other or whether it's because my back hurts or whether it's because I'm tired or sick or it doesn't matter. It just, there's so many times, and to have someone try to belittle your effort because they have not been able to achieve it, what you have achieved. Yeah, it kind of sucks. It hurts a little bit. But understand again that if that person were stronger than me, there's no doubt that they would have just said, dude, great lifts, looking good. Because there were people on that thread that were saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, people below you will always try to tear you down to make themselves feel better about themselves. And especially in a society that is obsessed with food and gluttony in one form or another, when you are practicing self-control and willpower and disallowing yourself of certain pleasures in pursuit of a higher goal, other people, average people, will not understand. They just won't understand.
That's true. I remember sitting at dinner with a couple people and someone who wasn't even prepping for a bodybuilding show. They were just trying to make better choices. Well, that person was receiving ridicule for like not ordering a burger.
Yeah.
We're not ordering something.
Yeah. Why are you tracking your food? You should be eating more. It's like, well, okay, well, I can be tracking my food and eating more too. That's not how tracking food
and
works.
I'm just sitting there like,
why is this person telling this person what to do?
Is this happening right now? And TC was ready. Strapped up and defended. So yeah, I think that it's just, yeah, it's very interesting. We live in a world with a lot of opinions and
people offer their opinions to make themselves feel better. It is not for your benefit. Okay. Let me just say that if it's a random person offering you quote unquote constructive criticism and you did not ask for it, their chances are not trying to help you, but they're trying to help themselves. And I know that sounds like a real shitty thing to say.
No, that's true, though.
But unfortunately, yep. I haven't experienced it any other way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So just like what I do is if I'm receiving criticism from someone, first of all, if I don't even know them, I try to not waste any energy there because I don't even know you. You don't know me. And that's just like they don't deserve my energy or my attention. Yeah. So I just kind of try and brush that off. And if it's still like sticking with me and it's kind of hurting my feelings because I am an empathetic, sensitive person, I'll just talk to my partner about it and say like, can you give me a new way to look at this? Because it's kind of like stuck. It's on repeat in my brain and I don't want to waste energy on it anymore. So can you help me reframe my perspective on this?
And I remind you, it's a fat 40-year-old in his mom's basement making this comment telling you how to sumo deadlift, and he's never done a deadlift.
Oh, yeah, sumo's not cool either. Oh, gosh. Oh, social media. If it's somebody that I know, that I care about maintaining that relationship with, usually I have to have a conversation and try and look at things from their perspective, try and find ways to share my perspective and find a common ground where, this is what I'm choosing to do. Like, how can we move forward? And
well, it's like sometimes if that happens, right, the situation that you just outlined, it's because they're trying to protect you from something, right? Mm-hmm. And you may not even realize that there's something to protect. And having that conversation might open your eyes about it and see like, oh, okay, I could be doing this better. Whatever we're talking about, this is kind of more of a general thing. I'm specifically thinking about times where you've said, babe, why are you grumpy? And I'm like, I'm not grumpy. And I sit there and think about it. I'm like, oh, I am grumpy. And we talk about this with you, why are you sad? Like, okay, I guess I am. Sometimes we don't realize. But if you have a partner, and I mean, Chris and I have the benefit. We spend, I think, all but 4 hours 3 days a week together, pretty much.
For the most part.
Oh, and I guess 2 hours every other day. So anyway, we spend most hours of the day together. So we're pretty in tune with each other, and we know when something's up, and we know when someone's trying to hide something from us, like an emotional thing. And so I don't know. Trust your people, I guess. When we've discussed that, you have to have that strong core that you have faith in, and whether it's your family or your friends or your coach, there has to be a certain amount of trust. And even if you, like you said, even if you disagree, having the conversation might just give you that different perspective. Mm-hmm. And even if what you're doing is right, maybe that gives you something else to put into hyperdrive, right? Who knows? You never know. And that's why I talk to everyone about cues that they use. I'll listen to people when they'll come up and, why do you do it like this? And then they'll tell me, oh, well, I do it like this because blah, blah, blah. Sometimes I think what they're saying is piece of shit. Sometimes what they tell me is, oh, wow, dude, I've never thought of that, you know? So, you know, give everyone their dues. Definitely be respectful. Know where your core is, I guess.
And so sometimes people will give you criticism because they are genuinely concerned about you, and they're not understanding what the process is that you're in, or they're like expressing criticism because they are feeling neglected in some form of fashion.
Yeah.
So like a spouse or a friend might be like, you don't hang out with me anymore. Like all you do is work out, or you don't eat at my bakery anymore. I don't know. But I have seen that cause tension for an athlete because they're, chasing a goal takes a lot of time and a lot of focus. And if it's taking time away from what time is delegated for that spouse, that you're going to have some friction there. Mm-hmm. So, just being conscientious of that, letting your partner know, like, hey, these like couple weeks are going to be a little hard because my cardio has increased and I'm not going to get, you know, this, I'm not going to have the same amount of time. So either like come do cardio with me or just realize that these weeks are going to be a little bit tough, but after my show, we're going to make sure to spend time. We're going to plan to do this together. We're going to plan to do that together. Just kind of, I think communication would be helpful. Mm-hmm. So that people know what expectations to have when it comes to being in your prep, being in like the depths of your prep, and then what to expect afterwards. So, and if you are a competitor, like I have competitor friends, and sometimes we make plans and sometimes we just don't do those plans because we're like both in a competition prep and we realize like, hey, I'm beat, you're beat, like we're still friends, but we're going to choose to not force these plans to happen when we're both just not feeling it. So like having competition friends is helpful too sometimes. But I do feel like you should have friends outside of bodybuilding. That adds a lot of value and dimension to your life. But that's a topic for another day.
I agree.
I think that's it. I think we talked. Yeah, we did a good job. We talked a lot about criticism, about judge feedback. Hopefully this was helpful to you guys. Is there anything else you wanted to add before?
I don't think so.
All right. So, we just want to thank you guys for choosing the Reckless Training Podcast. If you like what you've heard, please leave us a rating review. That helps us continue to expand our reach in helping athletes. If you are interested in coaching, you can visit our website at recklesstraining.com. I'll have that link in the show notes. Or give us a follow on Instagram. I'll have those handles in the show notes as well. We do take donations. So anything that you want to contribute financially to this podcast, we put directly for this purpose only. I'll have that link in the show notes as well. But until next time.
Work hard, stay humble, train recklessly.